We did something like that for 8 years while we was pastoring in Amarillo. We had two preaching services on Sunday morning, so I would preach and teach Sunday school and preach, and then come back that night and have another service, and did that for a number of years. But that's for young men, and I'm not there anymore. I want you to meet me in Psalm 67, the book of Psalm and the 67th Psalm. I want to commend you, if I might, for your being here on a Monday night, and for your attentiveness. You listened well yesterday, and for your participation. And I want to also commend you for loving your pastor. Your affection for your pastor and his family is visible to somebody who's pastored. I don't know if it's visible to everybody, but it's visible to me, and I just want to thank you for that. And I also want to commend you for having a commitment and a concern for missions. And you say, well, how do you know I'm concerned for missions? Because you're here. Because you came. A lot of other things you could have been doing on Monday night, but you're here, and I'm grateful for that. Psalm 67 is a good psalm. It's called a missionary. Some have called this a missionary psalm, and you'll see when we read the text. And it has a lot of usages, if you will. It's a psalm to be read for wisdom. It's a psalm to be spoken as a prayer. Actually, Psalm 67 is a prayer. It's written as a song, but it's a song of a man praying a prayer. And then it's a song to be sung as praise. And it describes so clearly to me, it describes our individual part in regards to mission. It tells us what our individual part is in regards to missions. And so that's what we want to look at tonight. And there's just three significant truths that I want us to see here in Psalm 67 that I think is relative to Central Baptist Church and you as a member of that church. Look what it says in verse 1. He says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Father, help us tonight. Help me to preach with clarity, and I pray that You would help me to be able to, as I deliver this message, that Your Spirit would work through me and be able to say what You desire said, and we'll just thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I see three truths here in this portion of Scripture that I want you to see. And the first truth is this. Apparently, asking God for His blessings is acceptable. Apparently, asking God for His blessings is acceptable. He said in verse 1, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Now, I have difficulty. I'll just tell you now. I have difficulty to some degree asking God for blessings. And you say, well, you shouldn't mind asking God for blessings. Well, if you've traveled anywhere in the world and seen the conditions of the world, I have to tell you that living in Missouri, I already am blessed beyond 90% of the world. Living in America, you've already been blessed greater than 90% of the world. I heard a statistic the other day that if you're and I'm not sure I can quote this accurately, but it's pretty close. If you're earning $32,000 a year, you're already in the top 1% of the world's economy. Taking in all the world, the whole world, all of it, that if you're making $32,000 a year, you are in the top 1% of the population of the world economically. So if that be true, and there's a wide margin for that, if that be true, then why in the world would I think I should come and ask God for blessings when I'm already in the top 1%? Kind of gets to you a little bit. Like, makes me not want to ask Him for blessings because I feel selfish. But here's a man that asked for blessings, and so I have to conclude that apparently it's okay asking God for His blessings. It's not wrong. It's not selfish. It's not greedy. It's not sinful. Apparently it's appropriate and acceptable and honorable to ask God for blessings. Now let me give you two reasons why we should ask God for blessing and not be ashamed or hesitant to ask Him for blessings. Number one, because it honors Him. It honors Him. When we come to Him to blessings, it honors Him in that it expresses that we recognize that all good things come from Him. That all good things, He's not offended when we come to Him for blessings. He's honored when we come to Him for blessings because it shows that we have Him in the place He ought to be. And that's the one who gives good blessings to all people. And I'm just saying to you, the songwriter said it best when he said, I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. We need Him. It honors Him when we seek blessings from Him because it lets us know that that He is the author or the originator of all blessings. But here's another reason why it is okay to ask for blessings. Not only does it honor Him, but think with me, it humbles us. It humbles us. We can look at ourselves and say, you know, I'm in the top 1%. I've done pretty good. I'm in the top 1%. That means I'm better than not better in inequality, but I've achieved more than 99% of the world. But you know, the truth of the matter is, in our pride, we're not acceptable to God. And in our pride, we're not favorable to God. And so when I get on my knees and ask God for blessing, listen what it does. It puts me in the proper spot. It puts me in the proper in the proper line, if you will, in that God's on the throne and I'm not. I like the I think it's Luke 18 where the Pharisee and the publican, they talk about him, that he goes into the Lord's house and they both pray. But the Pharisee prayed almost like he's interviewing for a job. God's job. Like me and you, we're like that. We're not like all these other people. We do everything just right. And he wasn't justified. God wasn't pleased with that. And so I'm saying to you that when you come before the Lord, it's okay to ask God for blessings because it honors Him and it humbles us. I pastored a fellow one time that on the way out of the services, he said he was a nice man and I loved him. He's a good friend. But he said, he thought he was making a statement that was honorable. And in his mind, I guess it was, but it really wasn't. He said, I told the Lord, and he was a business owner, but he said, I told the Lord that if He'd take care of me, I would take care of my business. And I just thought, I hope he's saying that ignorantly. Because if you have a heavenly Father, as we do, why would you not want Him to take care of your business also unless you saw yourself as equal with Him? Adequate. I can take care of my business as good as God can. I'm just telling you, that's not a good place to be. A good place to be is coming before the Lord, seeking blessings because it honors Him, it recognizes Him, and because it humbles us and keeps us in our place. And so asking the Lord for blessings is acceptable. Here's something else, the second thought. It seems, according to this portion of Scripture, that God responds to the prayer for blessings. He answers our prayers for blessings with They come back to us with provisions that we've asked for. He gives to us, but they come wrapped in His purpose. In other words, He says, this is how I envision it. If when we come before the Lord and we're asking for blessings, It's like God saying, I'm going to give you what you asked for. I'm going to give you the blessings that you desire. And I'm honored, God says, and you're humbled, and so I recognize that. But here's what I want you to do with what I've given you. And look what he says. It's so clear in the scripture. Look at the first word in verse 2. And let's just read verse 1 and then the first word in verse 2. He says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. And then it's this, that. Now, what he's saying is, because, so. He's saying, so. Because I'm asking for your blessings because, or so. Look what he says, verse 2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. See, God answers our prayer for blessings. I come to the Lord and I say, Lord, will you bless me? And he has blessed me, but all his blessings come back to me with his purpose in mind. His desire, his purpose. And this man understands that. This man prays that. He's not asking for his own pleasure. Now, James talks about that. James, in his book, he said something like, you ask and you have not. You ask and I didn't answer because you ask it for your own lust, for your own pleasure. And in other words, if you come before the Lord, what seems to be clear is if you come before the Lord and you say, Lord, I want you to bless me because I want to do better for myself. I want you to bless me because, well, honestly, I need another gun. Well, I want you to bless me because my boat's got a couple of years on it. And God, see, you say, well, God doesn't take that into effect. Well, it seems like he does. This man comes before the Lord and I can envision it this way. I can preach this message without saying a word, and you probably wish I would, but listen, here's the man coming before the Lord and his hands are open, empty, and he's seeking God to fill his hands. But he's not seeking God to fill his hands so he can fill his own pockets and then more and fill his own pockets. He's seeking God to fill his hands so then he can go to the nations and bless those of the nations with the health, the healing that God gives in his word, the salvation that God gives. It's like, God, I want you to fill my hands with earthly provision so I can go and bless those that do not know you spiritually, so I can go and give your word to those people so that they can know you as I know you. See, God is okay with filling our hands so that as long as we're not using it for our own benefit, for our own pleasure. I think God might say to us, if we're using it for our own pleasure, well, you're already the top 1% of the world. But if you're going to take it and use it for my purpose, then I'm interested. Then I'm in. Count on me. I'm desiring to help you that. And God announces or answers prayer so we can, number one, look at this. He says in verse 2, we can make the Lord known that thy way may be known upon earth. God answers prayer for the nation's conversion. He's this man seeking physical blessings so he can bless the world spiritually, and God's not opposed to that. God's willing to help with that. God desires us to be there. God answers our prayers so we can be conformed to His image. You look at verse 3. He says, let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. And then look at verse 5. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Here's this man, and it's like he's got it. It's like God has worked in his life, and he is being conformed to the image of God. You think about the Lord, and one of the names the Bible gives the Lord is like he's or a task or a assignment or a name that describes him. It's he's the mediator. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And it's like this man, he gets it. He is being conformed to the image of God because he's not wanting this for himself. He's wanting this so he can be a mediator with his provisions that he's been given for the rest of the nation. So I'm just saying to you, if it's good to come to the Lord and seek His blessings because it honors Him and it humbles us. But we need to understand that God didn't give us the provisions that He has for our own benefit only. Now, He's good for us to have, the Bible says, I think it's the book of Ephesians, I think, that to have and to give to those that do not have. And He's not just talking about a welfare program. He's talking about, and this gives light to that, that I'm asking you for blessings because I want to do something spiritually like Christ did. In other words, I want to be a mediator like Christ, and I want to be an ambassador like Christ, and I want to live intentionally like Christ for the well-being of the world. And so, number one, asking God for blessings is okay because it honors Him and it humbles us. Number two, God provides those blessings. They come wrapped in His purpose because it's the answer to the spiritual need of the unsaved man and because it conforms us to the image of Christ. Now, number three, let me give you this thought. The time will come when present opportunity will end. Look what he says in verse 4. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for, that's a because again, a because word, because or for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. See, he started out recognizing God's mercy in verse 1. But when you get to verse 4, God hasn't changed, but the opportunity has changed. The opportunity where God set aside a time and an age for His grace and His mercy. But we need to understand, and we don't always live like we understand that, but we need to understand this age of mercy and this age of grace will come to an end. When God will say, no, mercy is gone, it's judgment time. And this man seems to understand that, and because he comes and he recognizes that the nations now should sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously. See, the time given, let this thought soak in, the time given the nations is limited. There's time for the nations to know His way and be healed, but that time will come to an end and judgment will fall. He will judge righteously, not mercifully. The nations are not given eternity to prepare for eternity. And not only that, we're not given eternity to minister to the nations. Think with me. You know, God never changes, but life... I'll give you this thought. I thought about them today as I was going over this message and such. Louie and Hazel, I'm not going to use their last name. I found out our world is too small. But Louie and Hazel, I was their pastor for a number of years. They were sweet people, but they were stubborn people. They were older and they were stubborn. They had a mindset and they had worked it out in their own mind and it was all good. And they would, every time I would see them, they would say, Now, Pastor, I know we don't do anything for the church now, but one day, oh, when we're gone, you'll see, we will. And the concept was, and they thought I knew who gave what, and I didn't, and it wasn't my concern, but they thought that they would live on what they had and then leave everything they had to the church, and that would be okay. Problem was, that's not how God put it in His Word. And they ended up spending their last several years and all of their substance on nursing home care. Now, they're going to stand before the Lord for that. And it's not my place to say, but I'm going to say, I would want to say to them very lovingly, Louie and Hazel, how'd that work out for you? And they said, they would say, we should have followed God's plan. We should have just followed God's plan and separated a part of what God has given us for His cause, and He would have been pleased and we would have accomplished something rather than stand before Him and try to explain our failed best intentions. So I'm just saying to you, our opportunity to do and get concerned about missions as this man is not a sure thing. It is a passing opportunity. I can give you an example of that. I thought of this today as well. When I started, I'm a 1952 model, and when I started saving, got married in 1971, and we started our life savings and such, well, the concept in the 70s was that you accumulated, and then you, when you became retirement age, you'd live off the interest, and you would be able to safely pull off 4% or so of your retirement savings to live on, and then it would still grow because you're going to get, and in the 80s, I think we were getting 12 to 15%, the early 80s, 12 and 15% on your money. And so the concept was, well, you accumulate wealth financially in the bank, it's secure, they're paying you interest on it, and if they're paying 10, 12, 15% on it, which was good for the people who had it, then you could easily draw 4% and you'd still get 8%, something like that, and you'll be fine. Well, if you're looking around, not necessarily this week, but like the last year or so, if you go back that far, you'd be lucky to get 1% on your money. I'm just saying to you that things change. Things change. Where you may have, I know how this is going to work, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. Well, that worked then, and that happened then, but when you get 20, 30, 40 years down the road, that may not be factual. My point is, we can't assume that we can wait to be concerned about the work of God till we can afford to. We've got to come to the place that we say, Lord, help me. Ask Him for blessings, seek blessings from Him, trust Him to the point that we exercise faith and give to Him in regard to missions so that we'll not have to stand before Him and say, you know, my best intentions didn't work out. Times changed. So the time for us, the time for the nations is limited. The time for us to be faithful is limited. It just is. So we've got to be careful that we are diligent like this man was, and from the heart seek from the Lord with the purpose of sustaining His cause, because there will come a time when God says, that's it. That's it. That'll be in your life for you and your involvement, and that'll be for the unsaved that may have never heard. We've got to be diligent in this thing of missions. This story is told, I'll close with this, this story is told by Brother Sam Thomas, who is missionary to India. His dad, K.C. Thomas, was also a missionary to India, and it was K.C. Thomas, he's the one that originally told this story about, and an old missionary told him, that next to the river that run through this city in India, the missionary was on the beach and walking and visiting with folks and enjoying the sun, and a woman came to the edge of the river, and she had two children in her arms. She had one very healthy child and one very sickly child. And she came to the river to worship her God. And before anything could be said or before anything could be done, she took her healthy child and flung it into the crocodile-infested river. And the missionary wasn't anything that could be done except maybe converge or converse and console. But he said to the woman, I do have to ask you this. I have to ask you. You had a healthy child and a sickly child, and neither would make sense to me, but you threw into the river your healthy child. And the woman's response was, I was doing that for my God. I have to give my best to God. And the missionary's conclusion was that she was serving the wrong God in the right way. And here we are not trying to get anybody's business or in your face, but here we are with the only God. We know Him. We love Him. We've been saved by Him. But maybe we're not serving Him in the right way. Because the right way is to give your best to the Lord. And it can begin here where you come to the Lord and say, you may come to the Lord and say, I don't have to give. But if you'd give, I would give. Or maybe you would come and say to the Lord, I need this. I feel like, but I want to be involved in missions, and I'm going to separate this to you for missions and trust you to care for me and such. And come to the Lord and just know that if He answers your prayers, that He answered it with His mission in mind. And we don't have a lot of time to accomplish this. Father, help Central Baptist Church tonight to consider seriously their individual part in your great mission. I know their heart is willing. They've come tonight. They've come to hear your word. They knew what the subject was going to be, and they came. And so I know that they have a desire and an ambition to be used of you. So help them tonight to recognize that not only do we know you, the only true and right God, but we have the responsibility to serve you in the right way. And the right way is to look at what you've blessed us with and separate you a portion of it for the cause of the nations, and that we only have but a little time to do it. We'd ask all these things in your name. If you'd stand.